Good morning, everybody. What a privilege it is for me to stand up here this morning. I have always thought that this day is really one of the pinnacles of the Christian faith. And I didn't really ever think that I would be standing in front of a congregation and leading you in God's Word. I went to my grandfather's Bible and I looked up the verses that I was going to speak about this morning. He was a pastor, and I saw there 2,732. Every sermon he did was numbered. And I thought, well, I have a way to go. I want sort of the number five or something. But no, it's a privilege to be here. Well, I want to look at the story of Peter this morning. And the whole journey of Peter. He is such an amazing personality to me. Peter, who is, he does, I don't know, I just seem to identify with Peter. He messes up so many times, and yet with great enthusiasm he goes forward and he does things again and again. And this story of Peter is no exception. I've asked Ursula if she wouldn't mind reading the scriptures for us.
Yes. Let's see if that works. Good morning, everybody. So we're going to read from the book of Matthew. It's towards the end of the book of Matthew, chapter 25. So you can see it's towards the end of Jesus' life that this all happens. Matthew 26, verse 31, and then verse 69, the two passages, we're going to compare them. It happens, it takes place after the Last Supper, when Jesus and his disciples were on the way to the Mount of Olives, and that is where he prayed and he really agonized over what was coming towards him. So on the way, Jesus told them, "Tonight, all of you will desert me, for the scriptures say, God will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised from the dead, I will go ahead of you to Galilee and meet you there." But Peter declared, "No, even if everyone else deserts you, I will never desert you." Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, Peter, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny three times that you even know me." "No," Peter insisted, "even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you." And all the other disciples vowed the same. So now we go to verse 69. That's like 35 verses later. Meanwhile, Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, not inside, outside. A servant girl came over and said to him, "You were one of those with Jesus the Galilean." But Peter denied it in front of everyone. "I don't know what you're talking about," he said. Later, out by the gate, another servant girl noticed him and said to those standing around, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth as well." Again, Peter denied it, this time with an oath. In these days, we'd say, "I don't even know the guy." Okay? "I don't even know the man," he said. A little later, some of the other bystanders came over to Peter and said, "You must be one of them. We can tell by your Galilean accent." Peter swore, "A curse on me if I'm lying. I don't know the man." And immediately the rooster crowed. Suddenly, Jesus' words flashed through Peter's mind. "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times that you even know me." And he went away weeping bitterly.
Wow. Can I say anything more? Shall we go home? What a gripping story. As a child in a good Dutch home, at this Easter time, we always used to listen to Bach's St. Matthew's Passion. I thought, oh, that's quite an old example to use. But anyway, I went on the internet and I looked up one of those pieces of music, and I saw that it had had more than 4 million hits, people that had watched it. So I thought, okay, well, that's not too much out of time. But Bach's St. Matthew's Passion goes through this it is a great dramatic choral work. Amazing choirs, that sometimes there are two choirs singing from two sides of a cathedral, and they echo each other. And if you understand, and if, especially if you follow the words in a script, it's the most amazing thing. But I remember distinctly sitting in somebody's lounge and listening to the St. Matthew Passion as a teenager and following the words and trying to understand what was going on, and coming to this point where Peter denies Jesus. And it is such an amazing little piece of scripture and such an amazing piece of music, because there are discords, there are things that clash in the music, and the music describes what's going on. And when Peter weeps bitterly, the music describes it. So through this music, there are a few things that come through. There is weakness. I am going to try and get this to work. Sorry. Maybe it's switched off.
Okay.
Go. That's why you don't want to use somebody else's computer. I don't know. Okay. There we go. No. All right. So, are we there now? There are the scripture readings. Oh, let's just pray for a minute. Dear Lord Jesus, Father, I just want to pray, Lord, that you would come here and that you would touch us, that you would touch our hearts. Lord, I pray against distractions, and just that things would work as they should work. And Father, pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my soul and the meditation of the people here would be acceptable unto you. And so, Father, be with us now, we pray, in your precious name, Lord Jesus. Guys, I can't get the slides to move forward or backwards. Peter, you see, I should have used my own computer. Peter said, please, use the church's computer. There we go. Okay, now we're somewhere way down the line. Okay, there we go. And there we go. I mean, you know what? I do get... Yes, okay. Okay, there we go. I get seasick very quickly. And if people start moving slides around like that, I think, oh, no, let me just close my eyes. I'm sorry for that. even if I sit in my swivel chair and I close my eyes to pray, I think, oh, no, I better just open my eyes again. Okay, so the St. Matthew Passion, you'll see it's highlighted there. There are three things, and those are actually the things I want to focus on this morning. The weakness of Peter. The fears that we have, the fears that block us from doing what God actually wants us to do. And then finally, the forgiveness. Jesus, how he takes Peter and builds him up, and he helps him to get through the story that he has done. So we look here. At first, we see that Peter stands in front of a crowd and he says, I will never deny you, Lord. Never, ever. Have you ever been there? Have you ever thought you've had beautiful communion service and you go out of this church and something happens and either you mutter under your breath or you might even, you go to pass somebody and say, oh, have you been to church this morning? You might just say, oh, yeah, well, you just brush over it because you don't actually want to admit to where you are. And so we find out, that Peter stands there and he says, no, this is all fine. I will never deny you. No, Peter insisted. Even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you. And all the other disciples vowed the same. We blame Peter for this, but the other disciples said exactly the same. So, our weakness, despite declarations of loyalty to Jesus, Peter succumbed to fear. Even the strongest believer will experience moments of weakness. Be encouraged by that. There are times when you will feel fearful. Listen to what Luke chapter 22 verse 31 says. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brothers. Simon, Simon, Satan had asked to sift you like wheat. What a complicated, difficult thing. But we are in a world that has spiritual battles. Satan goes around like a roaring lion. And we are going to find there are times when we are going to fall down. But have a look. It says, but I have prayed, but. Just notice that little word but, because it comes back over and over and over again. Satan has asked to sift you like wheat. But, says the Lord, I have prayed for you. Wow. We know that in Hebrews we read that the Lord is he's standing as a high priest interceding for us. Right now, Jesus is interceding for us. Right now, he is standing in the place. We can't do it ourselves. We falter. But Jesus, as the risen Lord, is interceding on our behalf. I think we need to recognize our own susceptibility to falter in our faith journey. Jesus teaches us to pray in the Lord's Prayer, deliver us from evil and lead us not into temptation. If you find yourself wandering away, remember these two really simple little phrases. I know that as when we went to school, I know now that doesn't happen anymore. But the Lord's Prayer was said every day or at least every Friday. And we all said it or we sang it or we recited it. But those two simple little words, two little phrases, lead us not into temptation and deliver us from evil, are such powerful words. Those are exactly the things that happened to Peter and that pulled him away from Christ. Therefore, let The one who thinks he stands firm, and this comes from the Amplified Bible, let him who thinks he stands firm, immune to temptation, being overcome and being overconfident and self-righteous, take care that he does not fall into sin and condemnation. Isn't that an amazing verse that comes from Corinthians? This is exactly what Peter's problem was. He thought he was infallible. He announced to the whole group of that was there with Jesus, I will go and I will die with you. I will suffer with you, Lord. And we know that a few verses later, everything changes. So those are the faltering parts of Peter. But I'd like to have a look at our fears, because I think our fears is something that really holds us back to serving the Lord powerfully. Ursula and I were watching The Cross and the Switchblade. Took us back many years without knowing it, when Nicky Cruz, who was the gang leader in the story of The Cross and the Switchblade, when he came to South Africa, Ursula was sitting on one side of the auditorium and I was sitting on the other side. We were watching that movie. It was amazing for me. As I watched it again, it gripped me again. Let me tell you, I read the book. I didn't see the movie, but I just read the book. But how David Wilkerson went and sat in his car and prayed. How that man went and sold his TV because he wanted to spend time with the Lord. He went and he was committed to Jesus. And how he managed to get into this, to help these gangs and to bring them to Jesus. And so I was just watching the movie, and here are these gang members. He wants to run a rally, and the gang members decide to come to the rally. And there is a policeman who is part of the church, and he says, I will withdraw all the police from this area, and I will not come. So, and here stands, and he calls himself the skinny little preacher from the mountains. And he stands with these gang members with their flick knives and their chains and their things, one group on that side and one group on that side. And they have come to clash in that hall. And there stands the skinny preacher. And the fear that goes through that man is actually quite clearly depicted. The fear. We stand in fear at times. We stand in fear that we do not know what to do. But we do not need to be fearful. In Timothy, we read that Paul writes to Timothy, talk about warfare and spiritual... Oh, sorry, that's not what he said there. Timothy says, Paul says, do not be timid. You do not need to be timid. There we go. Fear does not have to define us. We can confront our fears. We can rely on God's strength to remain steadfast in our faith, even in the face of adversity. Here we go. Here's the correct verse. For God has not given us a spirit of fear or timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. We do not. Timothy was a young man, and he was scared to stand up for the Lord. But he was encouraged to not be fearful. We do not need to be fearful. If you are challenged in a shop about something or you're challenged in the traffic about something, we do not need to be fearful. We know who we are. We are the head and not the tail. I have to tell myself that often, that I do not need to be fearful. I'm doing the Lord's work. And I'm, you know, even for this morning, I told you we watched this cross and the switchblade. I was watching this and I thought, oh Lord, I want to touch the people's heart, but who am I? I'm not this great preacher who can stand in front of audiences and grab their hearts and bring them to the Lord. But what is it really? The tap on the shoulder of the old enemy, saying, you can't do it. Yes, I can. You know, Spurgeon walked into a small little congregation and an elder was preaching. And he came to faith. It was a bad service. It was dry and it was dreary. It was cold. It was miserable. And the greatest preacher, well, one of the greatest preachers of all time, came to faith. So, I don't need to listen to that tap on my shoulder. And nor do you. You are God's child, and you do not need to be fearful wherever you go. This was part of Peter's problem. He was fearful. He was fearful because he was standing there outside the court, and people came and they said, Peter, you're one of them. Just notice something, and I'm not sure how they're going to fit in with my slides, but notice something. Peter was standing outside. He had not gone in. The other disciples weren't even there. They'd run away. Can you imagine if Peter had had some people who were supporting him? Can you imagine if Peter and the disciples had not been standing outside but had gone with Jesus into that court? They would have stood firm as a group together. Make sure you're not standing outside. Outside you are not strong. You're on your own. Peter was on his own. And when a little servant girl, it's not even like one of the soldiers came to Peter and said, hey, you're one of them. No, a little servant girl said, aren't you one of them? I thought I saw you in him. No, I don't know the man. We do not need to give in to our fears. I'd like to just look at something and just think it through. Because Ursula and I were talking about this. What is a sin and what is a mistake? What was Peter doing? Was it a sin or was it a mistake? It's an interesting concept. So we just had a few definitions here. Sin's anything that deviates from God's ultimate ideal for our lives. I thought that was quite a profound statement. Anything that makes us deviate from God's ultimate ideal for our lives. A mistake, acts or judgments that are misguided or wrong. Now we go back to our scripture and we consider, was it a mistake or was it a sin? What was Peter doing? Was it a mistake or was it a sin? And I think, and this is my own thoughts, not a biblical teaching as such, but my own thoughts are, it starts with a mistake. All right? We do something that is wrong by accident. And let me just say, these kind of mistakes are life mistakes. They are not mistakes. If you're doing maths and you make a mistake, that's fine because you're learning by that mistake. And you know, we never used to write failed on a report. You didn't make the grade, and you have to just do it again. You don't fail. That's a whole different thing. But a mistake that you make, spiritually, we make mistakes. But then the gauge moves a little bit. It goes from the mistake, and we just think, oh, well, that was just a little slip up. It's okay. I don't know about you, but swearing is an interesting thing. You probably, I don't really swear, and then I get angry, and then a little word just slips out of the mouth. Okay? And then we say, okay, sorry, that was a mistake. I didn't really mean that. I better clear it up. But now look what happens. A mistake and a mistake gets worse. And that's exactly what happened with Peter. The denial, first time round, if he had been in tune with the Lord, he would have said, Lord, I'm sorry. I slipped up. I messed up. But it didn't end there. It then got worse. I'm astounded by what happens in this story. So first of all, Peter's situation, first it's a simple statement that he makes. I don't know this man. The second time around, it becomes with an oath. I don't know. I've heard people say, I swear to God, I would be very scared to use that term. I'm even scared to just say the term. But Peter swore with an oath. He said, I don't know the man. And now I believe it has moved from a falter of a mistake to a sin. Now it becomes a sin. And after that, it culminates with swearing and cursing and him going off the deep end. So we need to check ourselves that we follow it through carefully. When we do make that mistake, that we check ourselves straight away. And you know what? Sometimes it's thought patterns. Sometimes our thoughts follow the same kind of route. We start off and it's just a little niggling thought. And then we let it fester. And then that thought becomes criticism. And eventually that criticism becomes anger and frustration. Now we've let it fester and it's gone right through. It is difficult, but we should start by taking check when it's a mistake. Isn't the story of Peter beautiful? Because there is restoration that comes at the end of the story. It is just such a beautiful example of who our Lord really is. Mistakes and sins don't disqualify us from God's love and from His purpose for our lives. God's heart is for us. God's heart for us is to restore us. He wants to restore us. 1 John 1 verse 5. Sorry, I'm going wrong here again. Peter's story does not end in failure. He repented. Jesus facilitated redemption, restoration for him. And so we see that there is restoration for Peter. Let's see if I get it right now. Okay. So in 1 John 1 verse 9, but if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. He is faithful and just to forgive us. So this story of Peter ends in such a beautiful way. Peter and the disciples have lost courage. Jesus was crucified. Their teacher, the man they followed for 3 years, they did everything with him, he was crucified. And they said, come guys, let's go fishing. Let's go and catch some fish. And you can go and read the story how Jesus, in his resurrected body, is on next to the side of Lake Galilee. He says, hey guys, did you catch anything? And they say, no, we didn't get anything. He says, try the other side. I think you might catch something there. Okay, well, we'll just try the other side. And suddenly, the nets start to fill up. And we realize that Jesus is there. They realize Jesus is there. And they come, and it is at that point when Jesus starts to ask Peter, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord. Well, then feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? And again, Peter replies. And the third time he says, Peter, do you love me? I'm sure by now Peter knows exactly what's going on. The third time I denied you, and Jesus is asking me three times, do you love me? And Jesus says, come. I want to build on you. And this was another little gem that we picked up. Jesus doesn't say, okay, Peter, you messed up. You start at the bottom of the pile again, and you have to now just prove yourself. He says, no, Peter, on you I want to build my church. On this rock I want to build my church. This morning you might be sitting here and thinking to yourself, oh, Lord, I've messed up so many times. But at this Easter time when Jesus died for our sins, he's not only saying, I want to cleanse you and I want to bring you back into my fold. He is telling you, I want to use you for the kingdom of God. Psalm 103 puts it so beautifully for us to understand what God's love is really all about. It talks about how high is God's love, and that God removes our sins as far as the east is from the west. I was just thinking, you know, the geography teacher in me started to go around, and I thought about east and west. Anywhere where you are on the planet, east will be east and west will be west. And it doesn't, you can't get to east. Because when you get to east, it'll still be, if you go to the North Pole, you'll be north. If you go to the South Pole, you'll be south. But if you try and get to east, you'll never get there. But let's not stick on that. Let's remember that God forgives our sins as far as the east is from the west. That is how far. Sometimes we are the problem. We messed up in life. And then we keep on reminding the Lord. He's forgotten about it. But we're reminding him that we messed up. The Lord is saying, no, you've messed up. Move forward. Peter, you messed up. But on you, I want to build the church. And so there is victory in our Easter story today. Through Jesus dying on the cross, our weaknesses, we can bring him our weaknesses. We can bring him our fears. Let not our fears stand in the way of us being effective for the Lord. Our sins cannot stand in the way. Jesus died for us to forgive us. We've all been, all these things have been dealt with. By the shedding of Jesus' blood on the cross, there is redemption in our relationship with God. As we close in prayer just now, we're going to consider these things. I want you to consider your weaknesses. And if they have held you back, or maybe they're not weaknesses, maybe they are things that you've been told as a child already. Oh, you speak funny, or you don't. Remember Moses? Moses went and he said, Lord, I can't go and speak to Pharaoh because I stutter. And the Lord said, you can do it. You can do it. If there's something the Lord has laid on your heart that you need to do, you can do it. Let not your fears stand in the way. Let not your sins stand in the way. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, Father, as we consider our weaknesses, we pray that you would help us, that they would not separate us from a relationship with you, Father. Dear Lord, as we consider our fears, so often it is just fear that has driven us. Even as we meditated on Peter's actions, there was fear that drove him. Lord, help us to be like Timothy and to not have a spirit of timidity, but to be able to stand firm for you. Lord, I really believe that light and dark are going to get light, it'll be lighter, and darkness will be darker in this world. But that means that we have to stand firm and we have to show the world that you are the light and you are the way. And so, Father, we pray that our fears would not stand before us and in the way. And Lord, we have sinned. We all have sinned. Father, I pray that you would help each person here to just confess those sins. And Lord, we know that you are faithful to forgive us our sins so that we can come with a clean slate before you. And as we come with a clean slate before you, Lord, we know that you can use us for the extension of your kingdom. Father, thank you for this amazing account of a man that was just like we are, Lord. And we pray that you would take our weaknesses and help us to stand firm for you, Lord Jesus. We pray this all in your precious name. Amen. Thank you, everybody. We trust that this Easter, Good Friday, it's funny that it's good and it's sad, but it's a Good Friday because of the good that the Lord did for us, but that you might have a pleasant Easter weekend. And on Sunday morning, we look forward. Millen, you can have a nice, happy sermon for the Resurrection Day. Be blessed. Thank you.